It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, June 1st. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Ben Johnson. The Supreme Court is likely to decide this month whether or not to hear a case that pits Google against Oracle. At issue, APIs, application programming interfaces, and whether or not they're copyrightable. As wonky as it sounds, turns out it's a pretty significant question for all of us. Here to help explain is Robin Feldman. She's the director of the Institute for Innovation Law at UC Hastings. Hi, thanks for being here.
Pleasure to be here.
So let's start with the basics. What are APIs?
API is a short term for application programming interfaces. These are tools, routines for how the software interacts with what the users see on the screen. The question is, can you protect these things through copyright?
And so explain this case to me at its root. Why should I care?
The issue from the 30,000-foot view is, what can you lock up as yours? What must be free to all, reserved for none? Last year, the Supreme Court cut back strongly on locking up basic software ideas with patents. Now we're asking, which part of software can you reserve for yourself through copyright? Now, copyright may seem an odd match for software because you don't get copyright protection for processes. That belongs in the patent world.
And this is why I can't copyright a recipe, for example, right?
Exactly. The recipe is how you do something. You could copyright the photographs you take. You could copyright your description of southern Italy, where it came from. But the recipe, how you do it, is not copyrightable. So for these APIs, these instructions, do they look like other things in software that we grudgingly shove into the copyright box, or are they processes? I should note that copyright is even more dangerous than patent for the issue of what you can block off. Patent's 20 years. Corporate copyright lasts 120 years.
Wow.
That's an eternity in the world of software, where innovation happens in the blink of an eye.
So why are these lines so hard to draw? Why isn't it easy to figure out if APIs should count as a process and therefore be uncopyrightable or be copyrightable?
So the technical question is, what is copyright doing in software to begin with? We made an uneasy compromise decades ago in making that decision. Software needed to find protection. Copyright is the best home we have for it. But that does make it difficult to draw lines when it doesn't look like a poem or a song or a dance or even a recipe.
Robin Feldman is a professor of law at UC Hastings. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
The Federal Communications Commission is going to auction off more of the airwaves next year to wireless companies. And T-Mobile is scrambling for a bigger piece of the pie. The cellular company wants the FCC to set aside more airwaves that only smaller companies could bid on, i.e. not AT&T and Verizon. But it could be fighting an uphill battle. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
All the phone companies want more spectrum, that is, a bigger slice of the airwaves, as we use more of those airwaves to stream stuff. And the spectrum the FCC is auctioning off is primo.
Yeah, no, this is beachfront.
Kathleen O'Brien Hamm is T-Mobile's vice president for federal regulatory affairs. This beachfront property, it's super spectrum, which can cover long distances and travel through buildings in a single bound. T-Mobile wants to expand its reach and compete more.
That competition is giving consumers great choice, great pricing.
T-Mobile wants the FCC to set aside half the spectrum to be auctioned off for smaller companies to bid on. Rob Frieden teaches telecommunications and law at Penn State. He doesn't think the FCC will go for that because it has to strike a balance.
Between trying to promote competition versus generating ample, you know, competitive bidding revenues from the auction.
An FCC spokesman told me all this spectrum speculation is premature. He says no decisions have been made. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The Council of Fashion Designers of America hand out their annual awards today, including a media award. This typically goes to humans, think journalists and photographers who cover fashion. But this year, the award goes to an app, Instagram, handed out by none other than Kim Kardashian. Hashtag, of course. We called up Gretchen Harnick to talk about Instagram's role in the fashion industry. She's an assistant professor of fashion marketing at the New School. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi.
How is Instagram changing fashion in the fashion industry?
Well, it's really allowing startups to have a voice right alongside of bigger brands. And they're getting called to do collaborations with bigger brands. They're rising up faster than ever before in a global marketplace, you know, and just garnering attention from sharing their work.
So fashion brands have so many different channels and different ways to reach audiences now. How is Instagram different?
It allows them to showcase maybe the detail of a product, something that's happening behind the scenes, like a sneak peek before they're releasing it, or even some of the fashion magazines, they're going to showcase maybe their cover or, you know, maybe an inside spread as a teaser to get people excited about it.
Gretchen Harnick is assistant professor of fashion marketing at the New School. Thanks.
Thanks, Adrian.
We've got our own behind-the-scenes Instagram account at Marketplace APM, where I posted a pretty awesome, super fashion-forward pic. Because this is public radio, after all. We're super fashion-forward. I'm Adrian Hill, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.